Power of the Lord come down. Let the power of the Lord from heaven come down. Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Amen. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of the Lord from heaven come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let the anointing of the Lord come. Amen. Let the anointing of the Lord come down. Hallelujah. Let the anointing of the Lord from heaven come down. Let the anointing of the Lord come down. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for RCN. Thank you for Apostle Arume Osai. Thank you for giving him the grace to avail himself so you can use him in our time. Thank you for everybody who have gathered. Give us the grace to minister, the grace to comprehend, and the grace to implement. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sit down. Anytime God wants to change a city, he raises a man. Politicians cannot change a city. Prophets do. And thank God for our father in the house, Apostle Arume Osai, and mommy. May God bless their ministry further in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I have a short time to be here, and I'm discussing on the priestly ministry of the church. The church has a ministry that we call the priestly ministry of the church. When we discuss priesthood, we're discussing it in several order. In the Old Testament order, we have the Levitical order. Of course, if you look at the book of Deuteronomy 32, verse 18, the Bible said that when God found created the world and gave inheritance, give it to me. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18, if it's possible. 32, verse 8, rather not 18. Verse 8. When the Most High divided the nations, the inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And of course, you know, the sons of Israel are 12 in number. And eventually, the tribe of Joseph received double portion. So we can say there are 13 in number. But God separated one out of the 13 and called it Levitical order. God said, this is my own people. They have only one ministry, to offer gifts, sacrifices, and offering to the Lord. To stand between God and the people and minister to God on behalf of the people. And then come back to minister to the people on behalf of God. And God gave them specific instruction not to meddle with what others are doing. But beyond that, in the book of Genesis 19 verse 6, the Bible mentions something again. He said, if you will obey me, I will make you a kingdom of priests. In this case, God is not talking about a kingdom that has a priest. He's talking about a kingdom where everybody in the kingdom is a priest. Do you understand that? So in the Old Testament, we have both the Levitical priesthood and the kingdom of priests, meaning every Israelite has this priestly ministry to offer to God. And the same order God replicated in the New Testament as well. In the New Testament order, we have what we call the priesthood and the general priesthood of all believers. If you look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it made mention of fivefold ministry. That is five families of Levi, talking about the five priestly ministry of the church in terms of official priesthood. And this priesthood, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12,
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of what? The ministry. So everybody in the church does ministry. But there is a particular tribe in the church that God has separated to do the equipping, the defying, the perfecting of the entire saints for the work of the ministry. That means the ministry is not done by this fivefold. Their duty is to equip. Ministry is done by every person who is not in this cadre. Are you following what I'm saying here? If we do ministry only on Sunday or as we're having this program, then we have no ministry. Ministry is done actually in the marketplace. So the main work of the Apostle Aramosai and other great men of God is to equip us who come for the work of the ministry. Now if you take the 12 or the other 12 tribe, you will see the Judah, which represents politics. You will see Joseph that represents business, commerce. You will see Danite that represents judiciary. Are you following what I'm saying? You will see that every tribe represents sons. Even every tribe, there are also families. Come on, are we together here at all? So the work of this priesthood is to equip. But beyond that, every other member of the church is also a priest. So the Bible said you are a peculiar nation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood who are called out of darkness into his marvelous light to declare the excellence and glory of he that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 said, give it to me, if it's possible. Chapter 1 verse 6, and had made us kings and priests. So said to your neighbor, I'm a priest. In this sense, you're not an apostle, you may not be an apostle. So this summer we'll have people, young people, wake up and put on good suits, carry a big Bible and answer, apostle. It's not a title everywhere, hello. So if you don't answer apostle now, maybe you are not, you should add that to your name so I can actually, amen. And many who are answering this don't even know what it means. Sometime in the past, if you go to Ghana to preach and your name does not have the title prophet, you cannot do well. Once you come, they will ask you to add it to your name, Reverend Prophet, so that at least, you know, it can make some sense. But this is not what the Bible is talking about here. Priesthood here is a priesthood of all believers, meaning that every believer in the church has got a priestly ministry to offer to God Almighty. Are we together here? So he made us kings and a priest. And remember that kings reign on the throne, priests reign on the altar. It simply means that everybody who must reign on the earth must have two stools. Everybody in the church that must be effective, not only in the church, even in the world. Anybody who will be effective, who will have anything significant to do in this life, must have a throne at the same time, an altar. If you have only a throne without an altar, you can't reign effectively. In fact, in the book of Revelation 8 verse 3, give it to me quick. I have a short time. 8 verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayer of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before we heard. So even God Almighty has an altar before his throne. So if God needed an altar for his throne to function effectively, we need more. Hello? Are you following what I'm saying here? It is something that we... The apostle himself. God bless you. Hallelujah. It is something that we must come to terms with. I come from Onitsha. Onitsha is one of the homes of the largest markets in Africa. If you hear the kind of things people do, you will not believe it. And so sometimes it appears as though believers are sleeping. You know, dancing. You see, Christians, they can sing all the songs, but no few scriptures. They can sing all the new songs in town, but they know only few scriptures. They can't even pray for 1 hour, but they're Christians, and they want to make it in life. Forget it. Forget it. Hallelujah. Forget it. In our nature that I came from, let me tell you a story before I continue. Can I? A madman was begging in the market. The market is called... One of the markets in Onitsha, I'm trying to remember the market now. Onitsha, Ochanja. But These guys. There are many markets. There are many markets, you know, it's about your transactionally, you got it right. Now, around a place called Emordi with a sale floor, he was begging for money. And somebody was benevolent enough to give him 1,000 naira. He moved a little bit and stopped and said to him, can you send your boys away? Let me share a story with you. The guy was like, madman, sharing something with me. Come on, get out from here. And one of his friends asking, what will you lose if you listen to this madman? And that friend took the boys away. The madman removed, madman in quotes, removed the wig on his hair and said to him, I am not a madman. I am here for an assignment. Hear me, the toughest places in this life is the marketplace. Whether you are a lawyer, whether you are in fact, it is easier in the church than in the marketplace. Because in the church we deal with Christians. But over there you deal with all kinds of things. Amen. How are you following what I'm saying here? Your next neighbor may have a very terrible altar, no kid in the and you can't contend with those things empty handed, can you? No. And Ibo Adage says, Nigeria Ife, Nigeria Abaka, and Chief Natalo. That is it. You don't pursue something that bites with empty hands. No, you must have to have something with you. And so, the man sat down to hear him. He reminded him about 7 men in the market who have gone out of stock, out of business. He said, do you know why? The man said, I don't know why. He said, because they take them up in their mirror and found out they were the girl. They don't belong to the church. They don't belong to the occult. You can't function neutral. Any car in neutral will either go forward or backward. You can't live in the border of Iraq and Iran. ISIS will cross you. You are either in Iran or in Iraq. You must be somewhere. You must be somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying here? So if you say you are this way, you should be red hot. You should be red hot. Ordinary baptism can't be, you know. Somebody shout amen 2 times. So he told him, sir, when last time I was with them, they mentioned your name. They thought you belong somewhere. They didn't know you don't belong anywhere. You know, some of us, the devil think we belong to God. God think we belong to the devil. Nobody knows where you belong. So that's a confusion. Ready? And so he told him, I said, if you want to escape what is coming on your way, quickly run and join them. And the guy pushed him away and said, come and get out. So he went to his priest. They gave him holy water. God of heaven. And holy water upon a very weak charm will revive it to begin to work again. When what is weak receives water, what happens? And so he went to his shop and spread the holy water and all these things. Few months after, his goods were coming back from Calabar, and the 2 of the trailers collided with a tanker carrying fuel. They call it accident. But accidents are avoidable if we function in the higher realm. Are you following what I'm saying here? They avoid them. They call it accidents, and they lost all. The next time, flood entered into his warehouses and destroyed everything. The madman came back and told him, I told you. That's when he now ran to the church and began to look for God. Of course, he will recover all, but not in one day. It will take some time again. Men and brethren, if you must function, whether you are a lawyer or a doctor, whatever you are, it doesn't belong to Apostle Aromo alone. You must have a walking, speaking, talking altar. Red altar. And also have a functional throne you reign upon. Now hear me. A throne is only a stool without an altar. It is the backing of the altar that makes a throne a viable throne. Or else it remains only a stool. So a priest is not a priest because he wears robe. The cross I'm wearing here is only an Anglican order. It doesn't make me a priest. It's not the mention that makes me who I am. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It's not the garment you wear. It is what you carry. Gidikibu. That's what matters. Somebody shout amen 2 times again. So men and brethren, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation 5 verse. Give it to me. Revelation 5 verse 10. There's something I saw there. I saw it there just this afternoon. And has made us, made unto our God, what? Kings and what? So by implication, from creation, in fact from birth, we are born as kings. But let me tell you, you may die as a pauper without being a, without reigning on earth. And it says, as priests also, that we may do what? That we shall reign upon the earth. So the intent of God is for us to reign upon the earth. God is looking forward for a time when the best in medicine will be Christians. The best in engineering will be believers. In fact, it was like that before. All the inventions that were ever done in history were done by Christians. Find out. Great men in America, all of them were all believers born again. Those who founded aircraft were Christians, Weber and Ovier. Since, in fact, if you even follow the Bible, history of this world, follow it very well, you'll find out that before Christ came into this world, there was no serious advancement in the universe before Christ was born. Find out. The world was in full darkness for more than 4,000 years. Find out. And after Christ was born, the gospel began. And he said, I am the light of the world. There was an advancement, a little bit, on the universe within the first 60 years. But it was called the later rain. Alright? There was a rain. God brought a little bit of revival. People got to know God. The gospel moved. Paul and the rest took the gospel across. But between 100 AD and above, the gospel began to die again. When the apostles must have died, and those who saw them also died, the generation could not carry it. The gospel began to die down. And the church, and the whole world entered into what we call Dark Age. That lasted from almost from 200 AD till 1970. 1950, when Luther came. After Luther, there was a little movement in Germany that brought about a revival that happened in Germany. You know about the revival? They call Protestant revival in Germany. And then after that, another group came on board. It was called Moravian Brethren, the Ludwig Zinzendorf and his team. Those were the ones who introduced Germany into a heavy move of God, after which German experienced late former rain, which is industrial revolution. In after later rain, move of God, you see industrial revolution. The two go pari passu. Until God moves, there can be development. Check out everywhere. After 1901, American Pentecostal move. What happened to America? They rose economically. And if you go to Europe, you will find out that most of the countries in Europe that are not evangelical countries are poor. I don't want to mention anyone because some of you will just pick what I'm saying. They don't know the church you came from. Hallelujah. But most of them are not, because you will discover that until God moves, nothing else will happen. I used to go to Uyo many years ago, about 30 years ago, when Uyo was a glorified village. The ministry of one man, Reverend Dr. Mokbai, brought Uyo into what it is today. I can tell you without missing words. I used to go to your dad. When I go to his house, it was just a street without any tower, any quarter, and his church was just there, but he kept hitting the land until. Can't you see that Benue is experiencing a move now? Don't you have a working airport now? I saw the road being tarred from Alade to this. I came on car. So when I was coming, I was crying. I have to come on car because I must be standing here today. If I have to take a flight, I won't get here. So I said, get the car, let's move. I was really saying to God, how am I going to do it? But I found out that some works are being done. I said, this is a light happening. Until the priests begin to do his work, the kings cannot do their own. The two cannot. They must go to pari passu. Somebody, are you hearing what I'm saying here? Just hear me. I want to announce something to you. Your family is waiting for you. Your community is waiting for you. Don't you remember about when there was famine in Israel? And the king saw those two women who were crying that they killed their children and ate their meat. You know what the king did? The king said, let me go to the house of Elisha. If I don't put off his head today, because the king knows that the key holder to what they're suffering from is the prophet. So if I see him, it's like you and your God know what we're going through. If you are here, give us solution. I pray that God will help us to rise in this generation. But the way I see the youth of our time, we like program a lot. We like all kinds of new songs. But only few of us are following God. Only few. God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let me run. My time is running quick. And so, men and brethren, there is a need for a functional altar for you to actually reign in your world. For you to become the best that God wants you to be. And for any priest to function effectively, you must put on your priestly garment. Now, I have many of them, but I'll mention only one, the garment of prayer. There are many other ones that are part of it. But because this team, I mean, the program of this program is actually the prayer life, isn't it? Let's measure a little bit on the priestly, on the prayer garment of the priests. The priest also has other garments. When you see a proper priest, you will see all the things they wear. Each of them signifies something. If you look at the picture of an Old Testament priest, each of them signify, and you will see the 12 stones over here, and then 6 other stones, both ways, talking about the 12 tribe that he showed us and carries to God in prayer. So, you remember David, when there was a problem, he requested for Urim and so they can pray. So there is always a prayer garment of the priest. And that is the starting point of every Christian. I would like, before you leave this camp, may God bring upon you that robe, that garment, in the name of Jesus Christ. When we put this prayer garment on, we begin to pray as a matter of pattern. Prayer will no more be a religious prayer. There are many kinds of prayer. You have religious prayer. You have the intercessory prayer, the supplication, and all kinds of prayer. But this time around, prayer becomes a pattern for you. When you put on this garment, it doesn't mean going to the market to sew a robe and put it on and say, "Devil, I'm wearing a robe." No. I'm talking about making prayer your robe. Praying until it becomes a pattern. And let me tell you something about pattern. Can I go ahead? If you go back to your village tomorrow and bring a stick and kill a goat or a ram and pour it on that stick, on that whatever stone stick, the first time you poured it, you will go free. Those demons will be sniffing for the blood. They won't take you serious. Second time you pour it, they will start coming closer. When you pour it the third time, they will visit you. Hello? It means it has become a pattern. And that was why God said to Moses, build the ark according to the pattern that I showed you. Because if you miss the pattern, you will miss me. I can only occupy certain dimensions. There are things you must do to attract me to come. If you do it, then I can come. Are you following what I'm saying here at all? Even lifestyle is a worship. Are you aware of that? When you begin to live your life, it's a worship. Anything you do is a worship. And when you begin to do it for a long time, it becomes what they call addiction, isn't it? Addiction means the demon has taken over now. When you are doing it, it was just a behavior to character, to attitude, and then it becomes an addiction. A demon has taken over. The same is applicable. When you make prayer a pattern, begin to pray as a matter of consistency on daily basis. Whether you know what you are doing or not, the Holy Ghost will come. Trust me, he will come. Even when you don't know what you are doing, but you are praying sincerely and goes ahead to pray, one day he will take over. And he will just take over you because he needs you. You are a partner to him. Without prayer of the church, the heavens will remain almost handicapped. Prayer is not that we command God to do what he doesn't want to do. No. Prayer is partnership with God for him to do what he had wanted to do, which he would not have done should we not pray. He wants to do it, but until he sees men praying, he cannot come. That's why he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy," what happened again? "And thy will be done as it is in heaven." So prayer must be a pattern. If you look at the Bible, the book of Acts 10, you will see that the Bible said that when Cornelius began to pray at the ninth hour, the angel came. Check again, the book of Acts again 3, and Peter was going to pray at the ninth hour. Find out again, the Bible said that the man they call Elijah was waiting for this prophet to finish. But when it was time for evening service, what did he do? He took over. Pattern. If you begin, a sister in SU in those days, her name is Mary. Every blessed day she will wake up from her bed and kneel down certain hour of the day and pray to God and pray for hours. One day they said that Mary was having cancer of the liver. Took her to the hospital there, she was condemned, she was asked to go home. And then she went home preparing to die. But in the midst of the pain of cancer, he will still go down and say, "Jesus, Mary is here," and begin to pray every day. One day she was coming down from the bed. It took her long. She began early so she can come down before her time. As she was dragging herself to come down from the bed, there was a light in the room and the voice said, "Mary, Jesus Christ is here." And that was the end of that cancer. Prayer should become a pattern. That's when you call it prayer robe. If it's what you pray today, the next time you pray is 2 months' time, you're not serious. In fact, by the time you come next 2 months and start praying, the angels of heaven will be asking, "Who is talking?" They've lost the tone of your voice. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because prayer is a kind of fellowship. For instance now, if you stay where they sell drug for a long time, you smell drug. If you stay where they sell fish for a long time, you smell fish. When you spend time with God, you smell God. That's true. You begin to carry God about. You smell God. That's what happened. And it's very important you know this. Hello? Very, very important. Prayer is not what we do as a ritual. It's an intercourse with the heavens. In the place of prayer, God impregnates his own. That's where vision comes from. The place of prayer, he disfigures your personality and gives you his own shape and personality. In the place of prayer, he brings you into the man he wants you to be, which is not the version we are looking at now. There's a version of you that only God knows. Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee, I knew thee." That means the man I'm seeing now is not the man I actually created. This is a second version. Jeremiah, mark up. I pray you understand this. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. As he was praying. Hallelujah. I wouldn't forget when I was living in one church called St. Matthew Asimpo. So don't worry about those names. It's our name. Hallelujah. So we are there. I remember one day I have the burden to pray. Let me also advise you before I continue. Anytime you have the burden to pray, please use it. Pray. Anytime you feel like praying, please don't waste it. There is something that heaven wants to drop. Anytime you feel like praying. Much more than that. Anytime you don't feel like pray, try and pray. There is something the devil is doing around you. Yes, try. So that evening I feel like praying, so I went to the church. I was then living in a hospital called Crown. Around a place called Bournemouth Road in Anambra State. So I moved to the church to pray. When I moved in, I didn't know what to pray. So I began to sing some of these ancient hymns. "Oh Lord, I help in ages past and I hope for years to come. And I shelter in the stormy blast and I eternal home." I was going from one hymn to another. So I was singing the hymn. The burden continued to increase like in the coven of a ghost meat. After a while, I busted into tongue. Of course, you know, when there is nothing to pray about, go into that language. Just move into that realm. I began to speak in tongue. And I spoke in tongue from 10 o'clock till 5 o'clock in the morning. I only stopped the prayer. The more I pray, the more I feel like praying. I have to stop because I have a tradition. Once it's 5, the bell will go for morning prayer. So I have to go for morning prayer. So I ran to the house to put on my priestly traditional garments to come back and do my morning service. As I was coming back, as I was entering the hospital, I met a lady that I've seen there for some time. That lady was there for about 2 weeks now. And they say that she was pregnant for 14 months. She has 14 months pregnancy. That pregnancy for 14, you know what it means? So she was walking around to force labor on herself. But you know, when you pray effectively, you charge up. And when you charge, you become a power distributor. And when that happens, you'll be in charge eventually. So when I came out, I saw the woman, I was like, you know, there are things you do. You don't know when you do them because you're overtaking. Are you following what I'm saying here? You just do them because you are overtaking. Your normal senses are on pause. Now suspended. I said, "Woman, are you still here?" She said, "Yes." I said, "No. In 30 minutes time, deliver." I hit her on the stomach. Power like a madman. An anointing lifted her. Somebody came out and helped her. As I ran in to put on my cloth and came back, she had delivered. Not only that, there was this thread they used to tie. You know this thread, local thread? They used to tie local 1882 SU and FAC, you know, kind of, you know. You know what I mean now? That kind of, that's the kind of rope. And how this thing was projected into the womb of a woman, I can't explain. Life is a mystery. If you don't pray, they will eat you. They'll eat you. Somebody sang a song, I will pray, I will pray. If I don't pray, Satan will make mess of me. Do you know that song? I say, I will pray, I will pray, I will pray, oh, I will pray. If I don't pray, Satan will make mess of me. That woman was so happy, the husband was so happy. I can go on and on and on to tell you what it, listen to me, the world is waiting for us. But what the world needs from us, we don't carry it in the physical. It can only be gotten from the mountain. For in the last day, the Bible said, the mountain of God's house shall be exalted above other mountains. My time is almost running. Let me quickly run. So when we put on this robe, what happens? When we put on this robe of prayer upon our lives, what happens as Christians? Number one, God's kingdom will begin to come down among men. Thy kingdom come. Until the church begins to pray, God's kingdom will not come. You wonder why he said, pray this way, thy kingdom come. What does it mean for the kingdom to come? For God to reign amongst men. What does it mean for his kingdom to come? For men to become conscious of God's presence. What does it mean for the kingdom to come? It means for God's own culture to permeate humanity. That when you keep your phone and come back and you see it where it is. Even though people around may not even all be born again, but it's a culture. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's a culture. They are not all Christians, but there is a culture of God's kingdom that forbids men from stealing. Somebody was in London and forgot her phone in the iPhone in the taxi. And somebody, another person picked the phone from the taxi and a wallet containing £2,000 and looked for him. And entered in the taxi, looked for him and came to where he is. The man's name is Bishop Kwasi of Jos. Came into his house and said, who is Kwasi? The man came out. Said, I have this wallet. Is it yours? The man said, yes. When he was delaying to come down, he said, do quick. I'm going to see my girlfriend. He was blowing cigarettes, but he has £2,000 to give this man. But in the church here, we will sing, I will pray, I will pray. After all, don't drop your phone carelessly. When we pray very well, the culture of God's kingdom will take over humanity. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? God will, heaven will come lower amongst men and hell will diminish. I don't want you to know that when, oh my, anyway, under time. Shout amen. Number two, when we pray and pray very well, his will will be done in our lives. It means that we will partner with God to establish his kingdom upon the earth. We become partners with God to bring to pass what God had planned to do on the earth. I would like to take a little time to explain this. Please look at me very well. Hallelujah. So many times there are things God wants to do. He wouldn't do them. Because men are not ready that he can use to do those things. I don't want you to know that God's intention for Israel is for them to stay in the wilderness for 40 days only. But they spend 40 years. God can postpone his program. If he cannot find men, he will use to bring it to pass. He doesn't manage. It is in the place of prayer that men are made. It's not the public prayer. It's not the one we do publicly here. The one you do privately. Say, go into the secrets. And talk to your God who hears in the secret. And what will happen? He will reward you in the open. When men begin to pray, that's when God begins to look for, begin to find, you know, each time you are praying, you are opening portals that will attract heaven. You are creating an airport where God can land. Because a plane cannot land where there's no airport. If you see a plane landing in your village, run, it's plane class. Because there's no airport there. It's only when there is a prepared airport that is where heaven can actually land. It is altar that attracts divinity. Until men prepare a viable altar in the shape that God wants, heaven will remain suspended. God is always willing to do something on the earth, but he cannot do it until he finds men to
partner with.
A man called Robin Hill says, it takes God 100 years to find a man. No, 20 years to find a man. And the extra 10 years to make the man he has found. That's why when God finds a man eventually, he wouldn't play with that man. That's why when you see men like Apostle Aaron, Apostle Gideon and the rest of them, know that these men are already so immortal to end up halfway. It's not possible. Because when men find purpose, they become immutably immortal. They will not, because God can, if God is catching, he cannot find under you. It takes God time to make, in the place of prayer, it takes God time to make a man, to fashion a man. Oh my God. Are you following what I'm saying here? And when God is done making a man, that's why even Christ says that a prophet will not die outside Jerusalem. That means you must fulfill your purpose before you die. Death cannot kill a man of purpose. No, now. Even when you sin against God, others will pay for it. And you don't mean, doesn't mean you got, I don't mean sin as immorality. Even when you disobey God, that is when God said, do this, and like Jonah, you know what? If Jonah did not, they didn't throw him down. You know what happened to all of them now? If they were not smart to throw him down, you know what will happen? All of them will die. They will have paid for the sin of Jonah. And for David, of course, you know, David counted the army when God said, don't count. And God said, make choice of three things. But David was called a man after God's heart. It doesn't mean a man that God loved. No. It means a man who pursues the heart of God. A man after God's heart. That's what it means. Before God will think, David is doing. Jesus said, what I see my Father do, that I also do. For up till now, my Father is at work. I am also at work. I know what he's doing, so I'm partnering with him on earth. I'm always available because I have a good antenna that tunes to the frequency of heaven. It's only prayer that sharpens antenna. David counted them and God said to him, make choice of these three things. One, I dealing with you for 3 days. Your enemies for 3 months. Fair mind, angels dealing with you for 3 years. The guy looked up and looked down and said, God, angels. These angels are monogram. They don't hear back. They only carry out the assignment they are given to carry out. Yeah, whoa, man, don't go. David said, no, not angel. And then, my enemies? No. That would be the worst. God, let me fall into your hands. For along the line, you may actually have mercy upon me. For your mercy endures forever. And God, hear me, came down to deal with you. He came down to deal with you, for God's sake. Who sinned? Who was he dealing with? David. But no single scratch on his body. Nobody died in his family. 17,000 people paid the price of David's mistake. Did you hear what I said? Such men are immortal. The Bible says, each time they come to arrest Jesus Christ, he will walk away from them. For his time has not yet come. Each time they came, he walked away. For his time has not yet come. Until eventually, when the time fully, he said, to this end, came I to this world. He walked to them by himself and offered himself and said, no man can take my life away. I have this power from God. Power to lay down my life and power to take it back. They were asking him and say, are you the king of the Jews? He said, you say so. If I tell you, you won't believe. If I answer you, you won't release me. It's time for darkness to reign. But if I wish, I will wave my hands, angels will come. But let it be so for now. For to this end came I. Are you following what I'm saying here? Men and brethren, even when he wanted to die, he has to go and pray. He was, because nobody sees death and stay. When he was here, he was a human being. Are you aware of that? When they told you you're going to die, he said, what? Me dying? This life is sweet a little bit. He has to go to the mountain and labor. And labor. The Bible said that when he was laboring, that the heat was dropping like blood. What was his prayer? Father, thy will, the purpose for which you sent me here, let it be completed. And when it was done, he said, it is finished. Unto thy hands I commit my spirit. And he departed. May you not die before Jerusalem. Your amen sounds like amen. I say, may you not die before Jerusalem. In the name of Jesus Christ. These things. Hallelujah. Partnering with God. I may end here because I have other things, but let me Push it a little bit. Can I? If you take your Bible very well, in the book of Revelation 20 and verse 12, please give it to me. 20 verse 12. There is something I saw there. Maybe it will help us understand why we have to pray effectively. 20 verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Please watch the screen. Books were open. And follow it, it is the books that were open. Another book, that's a singular now, isn't it? Was open also, which is the book of life. That means these books are different books. They're not the same thing. All right? And then it says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written where? Not the book. According to their works. But if any man's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. By implication, the book of life is different from these books. That means somebody's name can be in the book of life. But when judgment of God comes, he will falter here before God. If you ask me, you may not see it in the Bible, but if you ask me, I will tell you that these books in plural, one of them, is the book upon which it is written what you are coming here to do when you were coming. You didn't come here as an accident. There is a program in the hand of God before you came. When you were coming here, it's like a football match. Somebody was coming out and you were going in. And the coach was telling you, see the when you will play. See what you will do. It was written on a book given to an angel who follows you around. And when John died, Jesus Christ said, he has gone as it is written of him. Hebrews 10 will say, and when Christ came to this world, he said, lo, I came across the volume of book wherein it is written of me. Lo, I came to do your will, O God. Have I lost you? Have I lost you? And if you take your Bible, in the book of Daniel chapter 10 verse 21, the Bible made mention of the angel coming to Daniel and said to Daniel, I've come to show you what is written, what is noted in the scripture of truth. And let me tell you, angels don't read the Bible. They know, they already have, Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The Bible is for man. So when he was talking about scripture of truth, he wasn't talking about the Bible. He was talking about another book in heaven from which the scripture was extracted. The one you have was extracted. That one in heaven, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, it is settled in heaven. If that one in heaven, your name is there. But the one here, your name is not there. But the one in heaven, every man that was ever born in this world, his name is there. And what he came here to do, and when he was born. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? And so the angel came to Daniel, when Daniel labored into the heavens, to show him a little of what was written about Babylon. So prophecy is actually history told in advance. Because there's nothing new on this earth. Whatever will happen tomorrow, God knows already. Are you aware of that? God knows what will happen next. He knows already. You can't take him unawares. You can't surprise him. Can you? No. Hello? Now hear this. The Bible said that when John died, he has gone as it is written. Are you following what I'm saying? That means there are also some things written about you. The first book. I believe his judgment. On the last day, God will bring the book where it is written what you have done and compare it with what you are meant to do. That is judgment for the saints. So, please hear me. Living on earth is not something of chance. It's not something that should be of trials and error. So that you are living by default or by design. Please live by design. We have access to divine GPS. We can be properly guided. The Holy Ghost is in us. It's a sat nav. Oh, come on. He can lead us. Hallelujah, somebody. If he led the Jews in the wilderness, he can lead us. Can't he? He can. The question, therefore, is this. How can I stumble into the book? How can I get to know why I am here? It means every day of my life, there is something I have to do. And that's why he says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is written. Give us. That means it's a daily prayer. You must come every day and tell him, glorify him every day. Pray for the kingdom to come. Pray for his will to be done. Ask him for daily bread and other things. Are we together here at all? Please, I have only 12 minutes remaining, so look at me very well. Shout amen. Amen. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? May you never leave this world without finding why you are here. Amen. Apostle Romosai was in the oil industry for several years. Been following him. One day, you know what it means to be in the oil industry? All of you who are graduates, how many of you are graduates here? If I ask you to pray, if I tell you now that I know the chairman of Chevron, and I will give some of you a job, when we close, meet me outside. Will I go today? I will not go today. But somebody resigned from a very lucrative job to come and be talking to you. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? It looks stupid in the understanding of ordinary men, but that was what he was designed to do. And when you hear him talking, you will know he's not learning it. He didn't learn it. It's not an art. It's in him. Hallelujah. It's like a phone. When you put the SIM card, it will start functioning according to capacity. Everything in the phone was in the phone before the SIM card came in. Just put on the SIM card, it will start functioning. That's what happens. Say to your neighbor, you are here for something. You're not here to waste anybody's time. Do you know that it costs God a lot to maintain you here since you were born again? The angels that are keeping you are being paid every day. Don't waste divine resources. So. The Bible said, don't be like the land that receives rain without bearing fruit. It will be near being cursed. Books were open, and that book was open. Something about you. But how would I come to know what was actually written about me? I think it is when somebody really gets ready to pursue, to seek. One thing about it is interests. Interest. The primary, the fundamental is interest. Hope, all ye that labor, pay attention to me. Incline your words to my saying. And then why waste money on that which are not there? Just pay attention. Incline your ears. And the Bible says that the seesaw went to sow seed. Some fell on the pathway, some. Say, but some fell on good ground. Then he says, if you that those ones on the good ground bore fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And when they came in, they asked him, sir, you were talking to them in parable and talking to us in plain language. It's an irony, a paradox. You should be talking to them in plain language and to us in parable because we are your men, isn't it? We understand you better than they. Why talking to them that way? He said to them, simple. It is not given to them for them to know. It's given to you to know the secret of the kingdom. For he that has, more shall be given. But he that has not, even the little he has, he doesn't have. The little he thinks he has, shall be what? Taken away from him. The fundamental is interests in the things of God. Don't seek. Don't go in the forest and start praying for 100 days. Oh God, what am I here to do? Show me my book. You will pray until your hairs grow hair. Follow the teachings of your pastor, the apostle, and other men whom God has brought under you, upon you. And follow God systematically, little upon little, line upon line, one day at a time. Follow him sincerely. Maintain a fervent prayer altar. Always come to him like a baby. Are you hearing what I say here? He has a way of opening your chapters. One chapter after the other. Because God will never tell you, I came one, I'm calling you to go to Kenya. From Kenya, you go to London. From London, he won't tell you those things. He will only say, follow me and I will show you. It is that followership that determines what you encounter along the line. And you don't follow by coming to fellowship only. You follow by spending time with him. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why you have to put on your garment of as a priest. you will burst into wonders about your life. Wonders about your life. I never knew I would ever one day become an Anglican bishop. If you know what Anglican Church means, Anglican Church is a very organized, systematic institution. People who are behaving like me should hallelujah. Should not come anywhere near that kind of office. Are you following what I say here? The apostle came to my program in our nature and prophesied it. We thought it was a joke. Just 2 years after, the thing became a reality, and so we are here now. And so I said to myself, I must come. I wouldn't fail to be here in this camp. And I came with 14 of my clergymen, 15 of them. That's how we are around here. I'm somewhere in the crowd. And about 13 other, 14 other lay pastors that came with me. Let them come and then, you know, let's have fellowship together. I believe the church is the church and the church is one. Amen. That's my belief. Men and brethren, there is something about you that the world has to see. Don't die like this. Labor with God. Finally, don't forget that prayer sometimes can be a consecration. It can be a consecration. Do you understand what I mean by that? You can decide to start praying by 4 o'clock every day and give God 2 hours minimum. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And even 2 hours is only starting though. 2 hours is for beginners. Are you getting my point here? No, it's only a way to start. Are you getting my point? Until it becomes part of you, you can now start taking off. You know, before the plane takes off, it must take a speed that will help him gather escape velocity. So, you know, that speed on the long runway is what you do for 2 hours, you know. If 2 hours is too strong for you because you like sleep, at least do something, at least 1 hour. Anything less than 1 hour is not it. You know why Jesus Christ says, can't you work just for? So even, no matter how weak you are, give in at least. I mean, how long? 1 hour. And then move it up. One thing you will find out is the more you do it, the more you gather energy, strength, stamina. It's not your own power. The more you find yourself enjoying it. In the beginning of it, it may seem to be a burden, but the burden will soon become a cruise. Yes, something of joy. That you begin to enjoy it now. It becomes a part of you. That when you don't pray, you feel like something is missing. Don't forget too, that prayer can be litigative. Prayer can be a litigation. Because God is an umpire. If you don't bring a good reason in your prayer, you may be a noisemaker. You don't go to the court and say, Judge, I am the one that is right. Judge, do it for me. Judge, do it for me. Judge, do it for me. Judge will ask you, do what for you? You know, some of us do pray all kinds of nonsense. Hello? He says, come now, let us reason together. So anyone that will be a good lawyer, because lawyer in the physical is the legal man. In the spiritual, the priest is the lawyer. Are you getting my point here? Yeah? So if you must do an advance in your prayer life, you must know your Bible. You must know the scripture. Come, let us reason together. There are days you give him what he says and relax. When the devil come against you, you know what to tell the devil. You hear what I'm saying here? Yeah. It's not a joke. You need to know what the law says. You don't go to court as a lawyer without knowing the law. If you go to the court, you must bring the law. And the law of the kingdom is the Bible. Learn it. And of course, if you start doing it every day, very soon you find out you become a walking Bible. And they took you with knife. Not blood will not come out. Word will come out. As you know it. To get a point where when you want to pray, you can pray the word of God. When you get tired, you move into the tongue and begin to ascend higher. It's not something coming to God and say, God, you will do it. Oh, die. You know the words, when you finish your dying, you wake up in the morning, open your window, you see the woman you are praying to die, walking around, and you are frustrated. You are frustrated. You are like, oh, this woman is still alive. She's still alive. Hello? There are enemies that should actually go. But there are different levels of enemy. You understand? There are enemies that are looking for your garments. Give it to them. You just give them the cloth and move your way. There are enemies who gossip with your name. Don't mind them. They are just pushing you forward. Are you getting my point? There are enemies who don't like the way you look. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There are enemies who want your life. They are the ones who will go. Because some of them must go for your sake. But some enemies are good to be around when God prosper you. Because he set table before me in the presence of my enemy. If they are not around, your beauty, the beauty of your rising will not be there. They will come to your wedding and pick bottle. They will come and eat rice. They will come to the day you will be building. They will have to be around. If there are no more there, the testimony will not be complete. So all enemies will not die. Focus on where you are going. Lay aside all superfluity of nothingness and receive with humility the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. It says, lay aside all sins and weights that easily beset you. Run with patience the race ahead of you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Rise to your feet, everyone. Be quiet for a while. Men and brethren, the other garment you need as a priest is the garment of righteousness. But I wouldn't want to go into that today. Garment of righteousness. Look into your life. Because some of the times you want to pray, but you cannot pray when you remember your weakness. When you remember the things you have done wrong. When you remember the things that could be standing against you in the place of prayer like Joshua. In a minute, ask God for mercy. In a minute, ask him to take away everything in you that hinders you from flying. Lord, take it away from me. It could be anger. It could be unforgiven spirits. It could be disobedience, rebellion, pride. It could be arrogance. It could be lack of sound mind. It could be spirit of pests. God, take it away from me. I'm sorry that I've not listened to you. Maybe it's prayerlessness. You can't pray. You can't even wait upon the Lord. Cry to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe you are weak in fasting. Pray. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for wasting all these years. From now, I want to start a journey with you. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, breathe upon everyone here with the breath of life and the breath of prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ.